Imagine dying and then waking up 6 months later to discover the world has descended into chaos, all because of your absence. This is Maven Oakley's reality as she awakens disoriented on an onyx altar, her body stiff against ancient stone. The abandoned temple of Synthike, goddess of death and fate, bears silent witness to an impossible event: Maven's return, despite fulfilling her revenant purpose months ago. Where her emblems once burned with Dark Tower across her chest, only phantom pain remains. Her connection to death magic feels fundamentally altered, more distant, yet somehow deeper. Beside her lies an Aetherium scythe, its surface rippling with otherworldly energy. When she touches it, memories cascade through her mind. She is Syntyche's daughter, a demigoddess who somehow escaped paradise itself. Outside the temple, a murder of ravens awaits, their obsidian eyes fixed upon her with unnatural intelligence. They respond to her unspoken commands, though her attempts to access her familiar death magic yield nothing but frustration. Through knee-deep snow, she follows their guidance until encountering nether vampires, creatures she once dispatched with ease, but now present a genuine threat. In the ensuing battle, she discovers her Aetherium weapon grants her a new ability, the power to reap ghosts with a gentle warmth, unlike her former cold fire magic. In Maven's absence, her quintet descended into personal hells. Everett Frost transformed from controlled ice professor to ruthless warlord, creating Never Melt Ice and fortifying Everbound University behind massive ice walls where frozen enemies hang like trophies. "I don't feel anything anymore," Everett later confesses. "Not since you died. The ice has taken everything else." Silas remains ironbound and tormented by the dead. 6 months ago, he attempted a massive ritual to resurrect Maven and every deceased magic user within 50 miles. Balesire's change is most dramatic. The once diplomatic shapeshifter now lives as a feral dragon in Canadian wilderness, his human consciousness lost. The world mirrors their brokenness. Limbo zones have torn reality apart in major cities. The weakened divide allows fiends to cross freely between realms. Pennsylvania has turned completely colorless as the nether spreads, leaving everything grayscale with a metallic taste in the air. When Maven reunites with Everett, their encounter mixes tenderness with volatility. Despite his dangerous powers, he refuses to release her, freezing her wrists when she resists being carried through a blizzard. At Everbound, Maven remains quiet, only noting his attractive facial scar. Their passionate reunion in the shower, where hot water stabilizes his ice powers, reveals his despair. When Maven asks if he was with other women, Everett responds wryly, "I have been in hell for 6 months. I haven't touched another woman. I've been too busy freezing people who disrespected your memory and trying not to kill myself." Maven's worst discovery is that Dagon, the necromancer who tortured her, stole her heart and fled. Without it, she cannot fully reconnect with her mates or break their curses. Each reunion reveals their suffering in her absence. Silas remains mostly mad, though an amulet made from Maven's blood helps maintain his coherence. Balefire must be tamed from his feral dragon state through her touch, while Crypt awaits rescue in an abandoned temple. As Syntyche's daughter, Maven possesses extraordinary abilities beyond her revenant powers, commanding ravens, reaping souls, and spreading peace through touch. She grapples with this heritage as memories of paradise return. Maven discovers she was conceived as part of Galeen's plan to defeat Amadeus. She left paradise by growing a poisonous coronimum flower with her divine blood and drinking its tea to become mortal. She also made a blood oath with Arati, exchanging golden ichor with the Queen of Gods, though she can't remember the terms. "Breaking a blood oath with a god would erase my existence from every plane," Maven realizes, understanding the gravity of her unknown promise. Though entangled in cosmic plans, Maven's choices remain human. When the Frost Everetts offer her freedom for killing Amadeus, Maven refuses. I'd watch Amadeus's power consume this world before helping megalomaniacal cowards like you, choosing integrity over expediency. Maven's heart restoration marks a pivotal moment. After her matches retrieve it from Dagon's lair, holy magic surges through Maven during their reunion, re-establishing their bond. The quintet emblems reappear on her chest, confirming their connection. This rebinding differs fundamentally from before. As Silas explains, connecting to her actual heart creates an unrivaled, ethereal bond that feels like divine lightning striking my soul, finally lifting his curse. Not all curses break easily. Crypt's markings continue fading as his curse transfers to the next incubus. Balefire struggles with his dragon nature, which rejects suppressants and sometimes seizes control, once attacking Lillian before Silas subdues him. Complete healing requires addressing root causes. After defeating Amadeus and fulfilling her blood oath with Arati, holy magic rains down, striking Crypt to restore his markings. Maven reveals she convinced Arati to permanently remove the legacy curse, eliminating Limbo Stewards and saving Crypt's life. When wraiths attack during a celebration at Maven's temple, Lillian sacrifices herself to save Maven, dying in her arms. Maven collapses in grief, inconsolable despite her quintet's attempts to comfort her. Syntyche appears and takes Maven to the vestibule between planes where spirits await judgment. In a sunlit version of Maven's old hovel, they play chess while Maven asks if Lillian's sacrifice worked, if she'll see her daughter Annabelle again. "I don't know what Sakaar will decide," Lillian admits. "My past is checkered." This uncertainty about redemption resonates throughout the story as characters confront their moral failings and hope for second chances. Maven questions whether she deserves happiness after causing so much death. The theme culminates when Annabelle appears with Sakaar, allowing mother and daughter to reunite after years apart. This moment of grace suggests redemption remains possible, even for those with troubled pasts. 3 years after the final battle, the world shows remarkable transformation. The Nether heals under Maven's guardianship with Shadow Fiend appearances down 70% and no legacies sentenced to the Divide. Verdant growth appears in areas long thought dead. Everbound University has evolved from a militant training ground to a true learning center where legacy and human students study together. The quintet lives in a restored Victorian mansion with individual wings reflecting each personality while maintaining their connection. Society's foundation has transformed with a new governing council including representatives from all magical houses alongside elected officials from atypical caster communities and nether humans. The decoded prophecy reads, "Five souls bound by choice, not fate, shall remake the world anew. Where darkness dwelt, light shall reign through love freely given and received." As Maven celebrates with loved ones, each mate presents gifts representing their unique bonds. Her mantras now, "I'm alive. I deserve happiness. I choose my fate, and it will always be them." Divine Fate celebrates choosing your own path despite gods and prophecies, about building family from broken pieces and discovering that sometimes the most divine fate is simply to love and be loved in return.